Good morning and welcome to our service. We approach the throne of God to ask his blessing upon our worship as we hear his word, sing his praises, and offer up our prayers to him. Dearest Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, we pray that you would be with us this day as we gather to hear your word. Grant us sincere repentance from all sin and move us to live our lives in loving service to you and in joyous anticipation of your return. This we pray in your name. Amen. Our first hymn is, With the Lord Begin Your Task. Please stand. We follow the order of service as begins on page 3. And we conduct this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, you sent your one and only Son as the word of life for our eyes to see and our ears to hear Help us believe what the scriptures proclaim about him and do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 to 8, where we find the prophet revealing to us a heavenly vision that he received. He saw angels glorifying and praising God. And the angels said, referred to the Lord, holy, holy, holy. Calls to mind the Trinity, the three in one God. And as Isaiah was aware of being in the presence of God's glory, he was conscious of his sin and his unworthiness. But he was reassured by God, you are forgiven. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, and that's another term for angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning with verse 27. Glory to you, O Lord. What do you think is the most important characteristic that it's important that we possess as believers? Love. Christian love. And Paul talks about it. If I don't have that, my ministry is worthless. And then he defines for us what Christian love is and what it is not. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not loved, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail, they'll stop. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please stand. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. If you'll take the maroon hymnal out, we'll be singing that from the hymnal 688. As you notice in the bulletin, the first set of lines are not there. So it's the maroon hymnal, hymn 688. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they had brought their boats to land, and they forsook all and followed him. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who wishes to bless us through his precious word, dear fellow redeemed. In last Sunday's gospel lesson from Luke, we read of Jesus going to his hometown of Nazareth in order to share with them a much-needed message. He came back to these familiar surroundings where he had grown up in order to reveal his glory as a promised Lord in Christ. Out of loving concern for these well-known acquaintances, Jesus wanted to bless them with God's gift of forgiveness and salvation. But this was a sad outcoming. Not only did these people reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to take him and throw him over the cliff. Certainly, anytime anyone refuses Jesus' beckoning call to receive him and his teachings in faith, to follow him in love, this deeply grieves the Lord. It saddens him to see people reject him and his word. For what they're doing is they're frustrating his redeeming love for them and depriving themselves of God's saving grace. In the events of today's scripture text, Jesus received a God-pleasing response to his message. For on this occasion, many were eager to hear what he had to say, to be richly blessed by him. So as we meditate upon this word of the Lord today, let us join in spirit these people of old who responded to the glory of the Lord in Christ by treasuring his precious words and teachings of salvation, and looking to him in faith and confidence, God's going to provide for our every need, and responding to his gracious ways with a thankful life of loving devotion. Already by this time, the word had spread throughout Galilee of Jesus preaching with great power and might and his wonderful miracles. And so when he came to the Lake of Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee, people flocked to him and they crowded around him, pressed him, because they wanted to hear what he had to say. Surely they were spiritually hungry to feed upon Jesus' life-giving, life-sustaining word. Last Sunday we heard Jesus speak in Nazareth of fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy concerning himself being the promised Lord and Christ. Fulfilling that prophecy of his preaching the gospel to those who are poor in spirit, and healing the brokenhearted, and proclaiming liberty to captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and setting at liberty those who are oppressed. We are the ones who are poor in spirit, because we have no righteousness of our own that avails before God. By realizing this about ourselves, we rejoice whenever we hear the good news of the gospel of forgiveness and salvation, and that Jesus is our righteousness that covers all our flaws and imperfections so that we stand before God free of blame as God's righteous children. We are comforted by God's binding up, healing, and soothing our sin-wounded spirits with the soothing balm of the gospel in which God pronounces his forgiveness upon us. And we're free of guilt and shame, and we're set at liberty from our captivity to sin and can freely serve the Lord with gladness. And we see what is truly good, right, and pleasing in the eyes of God, because the Lord has given us spiritual sight to see what is right, good, and pleasing to the Lord. He is. Otherwise, our eyes are pretty much blinded to those truths. Would that the gospel of Christ also reached the ears and the hearts of people all over the world. For we see so much evidence of countless souls who are controlled by the sin of greed, lust, pride, and hatred. We see so many cases of people hurting one another out of hatred. And this is very distressing to the Lord and to all of us. People need to hear the gospel that sets them free for sin, guilt, and shame. Among the crowd of Jews assembled to hear Jesus that day were Peter, James, and John. We know them as fishermen who had already acknowledged Jesus as their promised Lord and Christ. Now, they had just completed a fruitless night of fishing, and they had come to shore to wash their nets and get ready for the next time to go out in the night hours to fish some more. Since it became difficult for Jesus to preach on account of the press of the people coming so close to him, he got into one of the boats, and he had one of the disciples, Simon, launch the boat a little bit of ways away from the shore so that he could preach from that vantage point. And even though it was important for Peter to work in order to earn a living for himself and his family, yet because he treasured the words and teachings of God so highly, he was willing to take time off from work, from his job, to do this for Jesus and for the crowd and for himself. Well, on the one hand, Peter's job of catching fish that brought in financial gain. On the other hand, he realized it was far more important for him to obtain spiritual gain through the teachings of Christ. As we witness Peter's example, we're reminded of how important it is for us to take advantage of every opportunity, every occasion that we have to hear and meditate and reflect upon God's wonderful words and teachings. Also, Peter's actions impresses upon us making this a priority in our lives so that we don't let the affairs of this life interfere with us taking out time to grow in God's saving word. For it richly blesses us. It blesses us with treasures that we enjoy in this life and then extends on into eternity. Can you think of anything more important to do with your time than to meditate upon the treasures of Christ that are timeless and eternal? This should be our priority in life. Take out time for his word. After Jesus finished preaching to the crowd, he said to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." To an experienced fisherman at the Sea of Galilee, this was the wrong time of day to go fishing and the wrong place to go fishing. Remember what we heard in the text. They fished all night, and they fished near shore. And Jesus says, let's go out into the deep during the day, and you'll catch fish. So even though this instruction went against human experience and human judgment, Peter was willing to follow the Lord's command. Previously at the wedding of Cana, we witnessed from God's word Jesus' power as God over nature, because he miraculously turned water into the finest tasting wine. So then, because Peter had seen the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ, he confidently trusted in Jesus' power to bring success on this fishing adventure. Peter had also learned of Jesus that his word was ever true. When Jesus tells you something and he promises something to you, he is faithful to that word. He keeps his promises without fail. Our text reports Peter's response to Jesus. He said, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partner in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Have you ever had a fishing experience like that? I haven't. I enjoy fishing, but I've never had that happen. This was not the kind of fish story where the fisherman exaggerates the size of the fish or the mess of fish that they've caught. No. This is a true account, reporting the mighty hand of God at work, directing the forces of nature to do precisely as the Lord commanded. And that's important to remember. Who is in control of nature? The Lord is. And this is a clear example of it. Now, while Peter and John and James had previously come up empty-handed after toiling all night fishing, yet in the space of a short period of time, the Lord bountifully blessed their fishing efforts, filling up their boats to the point where they started to sink. Now we mentioned, I forgot to mention, but Peter was married, and he had a mother-in-law that he was supporting. And right after this event, he was going to be leaving home to do full-time ministry, to learn from Jesus and to carry out the work Jesus had called him to perform. And so when you think about that, that huge amount of fish, that would go far in providing for Peter's family. while he was gone. As children of God, we, like the fishermen Peter, James, and John, recognize the need to diligently devote ourselves to our respective duties in life, and that we are to perform them to the best of our abilities. As to the hope for a good outcome from our earthly labors, above all, we look to the Lord, and we have a confident trust that He will work His gracious blessings for our good, for our earthly welfare. And while He ordinarily pours out these earthly blessings in normal, natural means of people working for a living, yet if need be, He can use His power to supernaturally provide for us. Also, remember this. Just as the Lord kept His promise to Peter, and you're going to catch fish, and He kept His word, and so also He has made this promise to us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always make sure that you're provided for. And He will take care of us even for our eternal blessings. The final feature of our text addresses the matter of children responding to the divine glory of Jesus by receiving those blessings in humble faith and thankful service. When Peter beheld the glory of the Lord, he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." How did Isaiah react in that vision when he was in the presence of the glory of the Lord? He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." What about those other appearances of angels to people? They were filled with fear. But every time they heard a message, "Do not be afraid." And then they were given a reason why they didn't need to be afraid. Many are the times where believers in Bible times were in the presence of God's glory and they were afraid. But every time they were reassured, "You don't need to be afraid. He alone calms our fearful hearts because we know Him as our Savior who has removed all of our sins and all a deserved punishment." In the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us the added assurance of His forgiveness. He reminds us of His sacrifice on the cross, and we receive His sacrificial body and blood that was offered up on the cross for our forgiveness. And this reminds us, reassures us, Jesus died for me. He took away my sin, all of my sins, and I am saved. How greatly comforted we are, and how truly thankful to be so richly blessed in this way. The spirit of thankfulness is shown by a cheerful giving of ourselves in service to God and His kingdom. Consider, if you will, Peter, James, and John's response when the Lord called upon him, "Leave behind your jobs right now. Come and follow me." With this, Jesus was calling the three to become full-time disciples who would later go out into the world to catch men by casting the net of the gospel to gather them into the kingdom of God. The response of the three is quite remarkable. Listen to what our text reports. "And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Strengthened in faith by Jesus' words and deeds, not only did these disciples receive a humble faith concerning all that God has blessed them with, but they immediately answered His call. They left their jobs behind. They left their family, their friends, and their possessions, and they went and followed after Jesus. What a powerful and dramatic message this is of a humble faith and a thankful spirit moved to cheerful service of God. Would that the Lord fill our hearts with that kind of a faithful spirit, thankful hearts to serve the Lord with gladness. I remember one of our pastors, Pastor Paul Nolting. I don't know if you ever met him before, but he grew up in a pastor's home. And very often his dad would take his kids along with him to church to do some work. Well, there were oftentimes Paul said, I grumbled and I complained. And every time his father would say, serve the Lord with gladness. And everything that we do in this world should be a humble, loving, thankful service to God. Even taking out the garbage, washing the floor. No matter what the task is, we're serving the Lord, and if we do it to our best of our abilities, we're bringing honor and glory to God. May we then respond to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by treasuring all the blessings that he pours out upon us through his word, and by looking confidently to him to faithfully take care of us and all our needs, and by receiving all his blessings with a humble faith and a thankful service. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. In addition to the general prayers that we offer this morning, we also want to offer up prayers for those who are affected by the disastrous aircraft crashes, the helicopter and the airliner that hit midair and taking the lives of all those who were on board, and then that medical jet that crashed in Philadelphia, all on board being killed, and others were harmed. We want to remember the families and friends who lost their loved ones. Dear Lord, you are the God of all comfort, who consoles those who grieve and turns sadness into gladness. In this time of tragedy in our country, we pray that you comfort those who lost loved ones and friends in the two crashes. Where there were people who died in faith, believing in Jesus as their Savior, help those left behind to be comforted in the knowledge that their loved ones are with you in heaven, where there is perfect joy that lasts forever. Lord God, who oversees the lives of everyone and determine the length of our lives, help us all to number our days and be prepared for death, which can come unexpectedly at any time, by turning to you each and every day in repentance and faith, so that when our final end comes, we will be ready to depart this life and join you in heaven. For those who were injured in Philadelphia, we pray, O Lord, that you bring healing to their bodies and restore them to physical strength and health, if this be your will. As for the government officials who are investigating the cause of these crashes, help them, dear God, to discover the problems and enable them to address them and correct them so that those who fly in the air can do so with confidence and security. All this we pray in Jesus' name. We thank and praise you, O Father, for the coming of your Son and for the promise in him of the life that now is and that which is to come. Make us always mindful of your desire to save all people by faith alone in Christ. Open our eyes to the vast numbers of people who are in need of the message of Christ crucified for sinners. Then open our hearts and our mouths to boast of your grace in our Lord Jesus. In the interest of your kingdom, O God, enlighten our minds that we may know your will and walk in your ways. Lead us into all truth and impart to us a greater love for all people. Grant us a stronger confidence in the power of your word, a deeper trust in your merciful care, and a greater love of your Son. We pray also for all our homes and families, that you may make each household holy by your presence. Give them the Spirit of Christ, that the children may grow in the knowledge of their Savior. Grant that the parents may, by their love and example, maintain their homes in peace and godliness. Grant that both children and parents may delight in your house and in the service of their Lord. Comfort and bless those who are afflicted among us, that they may in love perceive your good and gracious will and find release from all their trials. Preserve and maintain for all people good government and honest citizenship. Keep us and all your people, Heavenly Father, in the unity of the faith and in oneness with Christ through his church. We ask all these things in his name. Amen. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, hymn 629, What Is This Bread? Please stand. Our liturgy continues on the bottom of page 11 of the bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his holy body and blood. In his name we pray, as we now join in the prayer that he has taught us. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the words of institution, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. Those who wish to receive the Lord's Supper at their place with the communion packet, please take the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Now, those who would receive the Lord's Supper at the altar, please come at the forward under the direction of the usher. Please stand. We continue with our liturgy in the middle of page 14 and sing the Nunc Dimittis. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with a final hymn. Family reminded me I didn't say good morning last Sunday. Shortly after the service, we'll be meeting for a call meeting to issue another call for a resident pastor. The church council meeting that was originally scheduled for today will be rescheduled for next Sunday after the service. And as you'll see in the bulletin, our teacher, Michaela Schmidt, has received a call from Trinity Lutheran in Watertown to teach there. So I'm sure she would appreciate your prayers as she considers this call. I'd like to remind people that the beauty of the hymns that we sing in our hymnal, that many, if not most of them, end by taking us to heaven. And that is a marvelous way to end a hymn. You may not be ready yet, but that's what we're looking forward to. May God in his grace be with you always.